This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today we visit with author Fifi Monge to discuss a book she's written titled Palm Beach Mystery Lady. For Fifi Monge, I also welcome Odessa to the program. Welcome, Odessa.
Thank you, Jay.
And you're going to be sharing some information on behalf of Fifi.
Yes, I am.
Fabulous. Tell me about this book. What is the premise of this story, and is it a mystery based in reality, or is it a total fiction?
It is fiction, and it is a mystery that the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
So there's some reality in the storyline.
But it is fiction as well.
Correct. All right. And what time frame was this set in?
This time frame started in the early 20s. 1920s.
And goes to what time?
Oh, probably around the 80s.
From the 20s till the 80s. On the back of the book, it says this: Joy Jones was a daughter of a dirt poor sharecropper.
Sharecropper is a one who tends land and farms the land, but doesn't necessarily own it.
And she purchased a mansion in Mobile, Alabama, to be near her estranged family. She wanted
That's
to make
correct.
Amends for her years of silence and absence from them. And after arriving in Mobile a few weeks, she became missing from her home. So this is the premise of the story.
Yes, it is. And many, many events evolve to bring it to this point at the end of the book.
Managed to put together 224 pages. Is this a first publication for Fifi?
This is a first publication, and she has been writing it for many years and holding it, and she finally had an urging to go ahead and get the book published. She had it handwritten, and then she had it typed and proofed, and so it was a long evolving process about a long evolving story.
And what was the motivation in putting this together? How did this book come together?
Well, she has a composite of friends who are both living and not living anymore, who approached her and asked her to put them in some kind of story frame, telling a little bit about their life, but keeping it fiction. So she did that, and she made up part of it, and part of it was based on some truth.
The storyline, at least the heading, is Palm Beach Mystery Lady. You also mentioned Mobile, Alabama. How do those two cities come together in the book?
Well, the storyline takes her from Mississippi to Texas and then to Palm Beach. You heard that, didn't
and
you?
Washington, yes. Washington,
yes.
Washington, D.C.
We did it. Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
That was Fifi Monge.
I did hear that voice in the background.
So I'm glad her voice has been added to the interview.
Fabulous. This book, does it have a lot of interaction between characters? Does it have a lot of action, mystery? What is the mystery in this book that really
there
should
is
stay
a lot
there?
Of interaction between characters. And I would tell you, too, that the pivotal action in the story begins very early with a very horrific encounter with the Ku Klux Klan, which was very much a part of Southern history at that time.
Yes, in the 1920s.
Yes.
And how long did it take to put this book together again? I refresh my memory.
I think it probably took about 30 years altogether.
30 years of writing and preparation. Was it based on any personal stories, or was it friends and relatives and people of acquaintance?
Fifi says both.
Okay. Thank you, Fifi. If this was to be put into a story of the week, maybe if it's, I haven't read it in its entirety, maybe for the Hallmark Channel, what particular scene stands out and would grab the attention of people who would tune in?
Well, there are several. I think the Ku Klux Klan scene would be one of the very standout features of the book, and probably one of the lavish parties in Palm Beach, where she became, in the book, a very famous person, a person of great power and wealth, as well as a leader of the community, fundraising events for charities and that kind of thing.
Odessa, how would you introduce this book on behalf of Fifi, or would Fifi introduce this book to someone who's not familiar with this story or this idea and would make it interesting to them, make them want to buy the book?
I think if I were introducing it, I would say that each line, each chapter was filled with a fast-moving, intriguing plot, and that each word would keep the reader hanging on until the very end, much like a roller coaster ride.
That's how you would introduce it, as a roller coaster ride.
A thrilling roller coaster ride.
Anything different about this book that's not like others in the marketplace?
I think the timeline beginning in the 20s and evolving to the 80s, and the differences in the time and what was happening at the time and how the times affected a life.
And what are the names of your key characters in this mystery?
Well, Joy Jones is the main character, and there are several other characters that are, and I'm going to let Fifi tell you that.
Wonderful.
Well, I think she wants me to tell you. Joy Jones' mother was very important in the plot, and her brothers and sisters. So there was a lot of attention given to her early life, and her life in Washington was very exciting, and her brothers, the J.J. boys.
I was just curious, what is the main plot of the book and its outcome? Is that something you can divulge?
I think so. The plot of the book begins with a very innocent young girl who has been compromised by a very traumatic action, which I won't name because I want to keep the readers interested in what happened. And it changed her outlook, and it turned her life from one of an innocent to one who was always looking out for herself, from moving from rags to riches, even if it meant stepping on other people.
That's intriguing just in itself. Tell me about the family setting. Where did this take place, and how does it impact the story?
Well, the story began in Mississippi, and the family was supposedly not so well off, but my assessment of it was that they were probably more well off than she imagined, but they, being a part of a sharecropper's family and living off the land and being very modest in their dress and behavior. Joy Jones had several brothers and her sisters as well. They were all named with a J, just as Joy was. So the boys were called the J.J. boys, and they probably helped to identify who she was because they would play pranks and do things that she didn't approve of, even though they were being just boys. But she was very old for her age always and tried to cause the family to be not redneck, as literary license would refer to this state of being, but to be more refined in their actions. So from the very beginning, she had high aspirations. And when she had a certain trauma in her life and was removed from Mississippi and started her new life, the cataclysm of that trauma, and particularly the death of her mother at an early age in the same sequence of events, turned her role as a woman to a different direction.
This is Joy Jones you're referring to, and
I'm referring to Joy Jones.
Yes,
and who is the focal point.
The title,
yes.
Palm Beach Mystery Lady, also has a subtitle of a missing heiress. Did Joy Jones become the missing heiress?
I think I have to tell you, yes, she did.
Okay. Well, that explains that a little bit. What were the challenges of writing this? What was the most challenging part of writing this book, putting it together?
Well, the challenges of writing the book were to be to tell as much as could be told and give it an exciting verb as well, and going through so many events, and I think you could refer to these events as chapters, true chapters that can happen in a life. And so you follow her from Mississippi to Texas to Washington, and where she becomes a very successful decorator and real estate person, and there were some other things that could be attributed to her role that we'll leave this to the readers to discover. And in all of this, she was catapulted to her high life in Palm Beach. And in trying to repair her life from the trauma in the very beginning, she did gain everything she'd ever hoped for and more. But as you know, when you reach the top, there's only one way to go. So there were some things that she was not happy about, even though she had the world in her hand. So the next chapter in her life is where, after she sees that riches and fame and everything that you could desire was not really making her happy, she started, her heart turned back to home, and that is when she moved to Triple Oaks in Mobile to try to prepare a place for all of them to be reunited.
Would you call this an inspirational story or outcome?
I think it could be viewed as an inspirational, and at the same time, a lot of pathos and sadness as well.
Thank you, Odessa, for sharing this information and speaking on behalf of the author, Fifi Monge. The story again is titled Palm Beach, Mystery Lady. The Missing Heiress is the subtitle. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Tell me where we can get copies of this book.
Trafford Publishing.
And are there other stores or outlets that this might be found?
As of now, Fifi Monge has some copies, but they are not in the stores as yet. They are on Indie Books and
Okay. Also
Kindle.
Wonderful.
And they can be purchased online.
Thank you again for joining us. For Indie Book Publishing and for Trafford Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Dix of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear the latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4 or 3 Central on toginet.com. Juliana is a marriage, family, and child therapist who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you. Here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on the show and Juliana, check out her webpage. Connect with Juliana in media.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune into TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet. to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Desktop Revelations, Volume 1, Spiritual Warfare. And the author is Luke Carnevale. And Luke joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Luke.
How are you doing, Steve? Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, you're an open book in this book. You're going to share everything that you've struggled with and for everyone's welfare, because you have put together this basically answers from God to help you and to help others who may be struggling with different things in their lives. That's kind of wraps it up, doesn't it?
Yes, this book is based on my life over the past about 10 years of the things that God's really walked me out of. He's walked me out of some pretty tough addictions, and it's just the things that he has freed me from and how he's freed me from them. And it's kind of a book that I wish somebody had given me 20 years ago and saved me a bunch of time and trouble, kind of a shortcut to here's what really does work when you get down to it. And so that's kind of why I wrote this book, is to just to get stuff, something out there for other people who are like me, who are looking for the truth, who are trying to find the truth, but might not really know how to get there and are getting caught up in religion or getting caught up in church, that kind of stuff.
One thing that you want everyone that you write, you say you want all the readers to learn from your book, that life with God, that life God's way really works. It's not some stuffy religious life, as often stereotyped, but as you've discovered, it's a life of freedom, peace, and power. I think everybody wants that, and it's even fun. I mean, what more could we want out of life?
Exactly. It's what I really learned is that really what Jesus came to give us is a relationship with God, and it's just doing life with the creator of the universe as your best friend, and it's not really anything more than that. I mean, it can be church, and it can be all these other things that people think of when they think of God, when they think of religion and that kind of stuff. When it really comes down to it, it's just hearing God for yourself and having the creator of the universe, the person who made you, who knows what you're destined for, who knows what he created you for, as your best friend, to help you through life, to help you through your struggles, to help you get through addictions or problems, that kind of thing. So that's what this book talks about. This book, it goes into some of the dark areas of my life that God walked me out of, and then it goes into just other areas that might not have been so dark, or you might not even know are issues, but that God helps me be better in, such as like business or handling money, those kinds of things. Every area of life, how you can come to a whole new level just by having God as your best friend.
These revelations, as you call them, desktop revelations, just kind of explain how they all happened.
Okay. Well, about 2006, I found myself radically born again, is what I'd call it, and then working a mindless desk job. That's in quotes. Yeah. But the marriage was perfect because I could just sit there at my desk, get my job done, get it done well, get a paycheck, and bring it home to my family. But I was able to sit there and listen to a steady stream of sermons by a wide variety of speakers. So it was kind of like going to Bible school for free, or getting paid to go to Bible school, actually. And this is where Desktop Revelations kind of grew out of that. Like, I'd never planned on writing in my life. But as I sat there and I listened to all these sermons, I was just trying to get free myself. I was just trying to wrap my head around why I'm here on earth and what life is about and having life make sense, those kind of things. And as I listened to all these things, and life slowly got clearer and clearer, and my life slowly got clearer and clearer, and I began to hear God better and better, I began to get these little revelations where I'd put two and two together and be like, oh, so that's how that works. That's how that works. And I'd get one or two, maybe a week, and I just jot them down in my notes, my to-do list for the day. And then over the years, it began to grow, and I started having dozens, maybe 10 to 20 or so a week. And so my to-do list would become one little part of my paper, and these revelations would be scribbled all over the rest, the front and the back of them. So when I got to that point, I kind of began putting them all together and getting bigger revelations that they all kind of gelled together into, and that's where I got the idea of desktop revelations. So let's just write a book of these random revelations that God has given me that have helped me, that helped me see life more clearly, and just put them back to back to back. One chapter doesn't necessarily, the topic of one chapter isn't necessarily the topic of the next chapter. It'll jump a little bit. They all flow together, but it'll still jump, but it's just these different revelations that I got put together. So, anyways, that was the long explanation of how this book was.
Well, you admit you've had a lifelong struggle with fear, anxiety, even depression, and of course, you admit openly, freely, even being bound by pornography and masturbation addiction. So you've really opened yourself up, but in the process, you've also proved that you can become free from that.
For sure. Yeah, I've definitely opened myself up, but in this day and age, some of those issues are major, major issues. And really what I was trying to convey in this book is not only I tell you how God freed me of it and how you can do the same thing, because I'm not special. The way he freed me, that he just showed me a way to do it, and anybody can do this. It's very simple. But what I really wanted to convey, too, is that it's not like AA free. It's not like I'm counting the days of my freedom and I'm still battling with it. It's he walked me through a process that took about 3 months, and by the end of that 3 months, it was no longer a battle. It was no longer a struggle that I couldn't control. It was no longer even something that would come up and be so strong within your emotions that you had to do it. It was true freedom. And so that's really what I try to speak to in this book. It's that, yes, when you start out, it may look a little bit like AA, where you're kind of counting the days and walking through it. But when you do it with God and you do it his way, there comes a point where it's no longer a temptation. It's no longer a struggle within you at all. There's no longer a rise or an uncontrollable urge or any type of grip that the addiction or the fear or depression or whatever it is that you're trying to walk out of has on you anymore. And so that's really what I try to speak to in this book, is how to keep walking, how to walk through, how long to keep walking, how to hear God so that he's leading you out of these addictions, not just controlling them or not just learning how to master them, so that they don't affect you negatively anymore, but so that they don't exist anymore.
So complete freedom, free from them.
Yes, well said.
This is volume one, and you've already told me that there's more volumes to come. Could be as four or five more. So these are basic battle tactics that you call, because this is spiritual warfare, as we learn in the title. So these are battle tactics, and in this book, you have listed 19 of them, 19 battle tactics. For example, let's look at one of them. Well, let's kind of go up to the beginning. Memorizing scripture. Now, that's battle tactic number 5. Why is that so important?
Okay. Memorizing scripture is, this is the best way to actually change your heart, to change your beliefs. So the way that you really want to walk out of addictions, or you want to walk through fear, or you want to change who you are in an essence, is you have to change what you believe in your heart. You can't just change what you believe in your head. You can believe something in your head, but if you are really motivated out of something else in your heart, you're going to default to that motivation almost every time. If it's easy, you might be able to follow your head, but if you get stuck in a pressured situation, or if you have to do like a knee-jerk reaction, you're always going to follow whatever's in your heart. You're always going to do what really motivates you. So memorizing scripture, it does a number of things, but the biggest thing it does is that it changes you memorize it in your head and you quote it every day, and it soon will get down into your heart. Probably 21 to 30 days, somewhere in that time, if you keep memorizing it and quote it every day and think about it, that's about how long it takes before it starts getting into your heart. And then you begin to change effortlessly. But basically effortlessly, you start to change. You'll just watch yourself change. So, for example, a couple of my personal stories. I just kind of stumbled into memorizing Psalms 91, which is a pretty long psalm. And I was memorizing it because I was having some trouble sleeping, worry. I was kind of waking up with worry and that kind of stuff in my mind. And I was just trying to get rid of that. And so Psalms 91 was a good long psalm that I could quote a couple of times and I'd be back asleep before I knew it. However, it had some other side effects. And when I noticed the biggest side effect I noticed was one day I was driving home in my car and I got cut off by another car. And in the process of avoiding him, we were on the highway. I had to get under the shoulder and my car spun out. And when it spun out, I got hit by a truck and nicked by a semi-truck. And I thought I was dead for the most part once my car started spinning out on the highway. I spun out across all the lanes. And I walked away from that with just a slight bruise on my left knee, and nobody got hurt in that entire accident. My car got totaled, but nobody got hurt. And the thing that really stuck in my head was the fact that when I spun out, I was like, I'm going to wake up in the hospital. That's what I was thinking. But in my heart, I was just totally at peace. I wasn't scared at all. And the only thing I can contribute it to was the fact that I just recently memorized Psalms 91, and that was in my heart. And so that was kind of the day that my eyes were open, and I just, woke up and was like, whoa. Even though the memorizing scripture seemed pretty boring to me up until then, I was like, the side effects are crazy. So that sparked in me a real hunger to start memorizing more and more scriptures. And then I began to see even other little things just start to change in me. I would notice reflexes getting better, or just being calm in a situation that I normally wasn't calm in. Just random things like that. And that was all from just memorizing scripture. That's the only thing I had to do. So in essence, that's basically what that battle tactic is about, is just one of the ways that we can change effortlessly is to memorize scripture.
And as I said before, in this first volume, there are 19 battle tactics focusing on all different aspects of spiritual life. And I like this, what you say, baby steps bring victory. You don't have to make these giant, huge steps. Even baby steps bring victory.
Correct. That's been huge in my life. I'm not like a guy who's, I'm very goal-oriented, or I can see the future, but I don't know how to get there, and I definitely don't know how to take big steps to get there. I'm like the kind of guy who I can see one little thing more to do, and then I just try to do that one little thing more. But that's all it takes, is every day waking up and saying, what's one little thing more that I can do today, or one little thing more I can do this week? I guess a good example, I have a number of examples in the book talking about that, but one good example is just when I first got saved, I just kept doing things that I felt God was leading me to do, but maybe I didn't necessarily want to do them, but I could do a little piece of them without feeling overwhelmed or feeling like I was getting it was being stuffy or religious or so let me explain. After a while I felt led to just listen to Christian music in the car, but it just felt really weird at first because I was so used to I love music. That's what I do on the side, is I produce music, and I love all types of music, and so it felt like I was having to box myself in to just listen to Christian music, but that's what I was feeling led to do. And so my baby steps were, I would just listen to a song and then I would just go back to my regular stations. But slowly every day as I began to slowly listen to more and more Christian music or whatever, it began to get easier and easier, and I began to like it more and more. And then I found a station that was a totally rock station, so I could actually dig the music, and then I was hooked. So I talk about a number of other things that are, some of them deeper than that, some of them not as deep as that, but the key was just do a baby step. Just do what feels easy to you, what feels not heavy to you. Just something you can do, but it keeps you moving forward. And slowly, day after day, if you take those little baby steps, you're going to look back in 30 days, in 90 days, in a year, and be really surprised at how far you've moved.
We've been listening to Luke Carnevale. He is the author of his book, Desktop Revelations, Volume 1, Spiritual Warfare. Luke, tell us how to get your book.
Awesome. Yes, you can get it. We've got a website, desktoprevelations.com, and we don't expect you to buy this book blind. I realize I'm a nobody. I'm a first-time author, so we're offering a test drive. If you go to desktoprevelations.com and join our mailing list, we'll give you 3 free chapters, and we don't pick the wussy chapters. We pick 3 of the best out of the book. There's 5 chapters that probably every person should read in their life, but we pick 3 of those, and we give them to you for free just to check out the book. If you don't like it, no harm, no foul. Also, we've got softback, hardback, ebook, and we even do a name-your-own price option, so if you want to check that out, that's all there at desktoprevelations.com.
Well, thank you so much, Luke, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
I appreciate it, Steve. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And this interview has been brought to you by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today, we visit with author C. Figueroa Faxton to discuss a book she's written called Passages of Power, Passion, and Praise. Nurture Your Spirit, Soothe Your Soul. This is an Inspiring Voices publication from Guidepost Magazines. Welcome, Carlita.
Thank you for having me on, Jay. I appreciate your helping me to get the word out about Passages of Power, Passion, and Praise. People need spirituality, and I am here to do God's work and spread the word.
Fabulous. You've also written other books, Getting Him, Keeping Him, Making It Work. I'm assuming that's about relationships, Getting Her to Be the Woman You Need, Getting the Love That You Need, and Getting Lifelong Love, and here's the catch, With God's Guidance and Grace. You've written a lot of articles. This book, what inspired you to put this together?
Well, out of adversity, this book came along. God had anointed me do this compilation. I tell you this because at the time my family was experiencing all kinds of illnesses. My mom was suffering from Alzheimer's disease. My husband was diagnosed with lymphoma, which eventually spread to all 4 quadrants of his lungs. I caught the worst strain of flu for the season, and my boiler broke. I was living in New York at the time. This is winter. You certainly can't do without a boiler. If anything could go wrong, it went wrong during that time.
Yeah, you've written examples of God's blessing in your book also, haven't you?
Absolutely. God is always with us. He is always with us, even in adversity. What we need to do is reach out to him. It is very, very important for us to make God the center of our lives. A lot of us have gotten away from that, and it has taken its toll. It makes us more fearful. It makes us more anxious. If we don't have God in our lives, we worry more about the little things that crop up in life, much less to the big things. To me, if your health is impaired, if you have a loved one who is suffering from Alzheimer's or lymphoma or cancer of any kind, those are the big things. We go running to God then, but we should make it a habit of going to God. Going to him when we are suffering and when we are rejoicing. As a matter of fact, the last chapter of Passages of Power, Passion, and Praise talks about rejoice. Give him thanks and praise. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, because I would love to read a little part of Passages for the audience.
We'd love to hear it. Please.
As I reflected on all that was going on in my life all at once, I slipped into a deep depression of my own. I was walking around in a zombie state with a sense of helplessness, not hopelessness. Thank God for my deeply rooted faith. You see, how many of us can say that? My mom left me an inheritance of faith and trust in God. I dedicated this book to her, and in the dedication, I point out how she always sang her hymns around the house. She always read the Bible. She was always quoting scripture, and that instilled spirituality in me. And I love her for it, because it has strengthened me and prepared me to be the woman that I am today. I could not have gone through all that I had to go through when my husband had lymphoma if I did not have a strong sense of God's presence in my life.
A strong testimony. Your mom certainly established a powerful foundation for you to build your life on. How would you describe this book? Would you call it a devotional book, a study book, or inspiration? How would you describe it?
It's devotional and inspirational. Devotional in the sense that I recommend that you read a little bit of it each day as part of your morning prayers. And I recommend morning prayers because it's a good way to start your day. It's putting on the full armor of God before you go scampering around, doing all the things that we're called to do during a busy day. We need to, first thing in the morning, take a moment to sing his praises. Thank him. Look around your home. You have a home. You have a shelter over your head. You have clothes to put on. You have food to eat. There are people in third world countries, or developing countries as they're now called, who are not so blessed. We need to thank him for every blessing that he affords us. When you look at the contents of Passages of Power, Passion, and Praise, there is a little something for everybody. I highlight what passages you should read when you're sad, lonely, or depressed. When you feel weak, discouraged, or afraid, when you face illness, tragedy, adversity, when you need patience, discipline, and self-control. And then, of course, the part that I love best is rejoice, give him thanks and praise, because a lot of people
miss that part. We will run to
Absolutely.
Him when we face adversity, but we neglect to thank him when we're joyous.
And most of your book is a re-quoting of scriptural references and passages without commentary.
Yes,
because
absolutely. In the very beginning of each segment, I would say, when you feel sad, lonely, or depressed, go to him, read.
Who do you think this book's going to appeal to, and why?
This book appeals to many Christians who used to go to church, who used to read their Bible, and drifted away for any number of reasons. You know, sometimes we need a way of stimulating and calling us back to God. He's calling us back. He wants us to return to him. Many people who have shied away from the Bible, because, yes, it is a little complicated, and sometimes we can't interpret it, and sometimes we don't necessarily appreciate what it shares with us in some instances. I remember at one of my seminars, a young woman absolutely refused a Bible because this was at a relationship seminar, and she refused to acknowledge anything dealing with the Bible because it said women should submit to their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know, but let's look at it from the other standpoint and let's see what the rest of the scripture really says. It also asks that men submit to their wives. It's a compromise, a give and take. If you truly love me, you would do the things to please me. Isn't that what God asks of us as well?
Beautifully put.
He says,
absolutely.
If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, every single one of those commandments have been broken. We can't even point to one, not one, that we have not broken. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, so that even though we have transgressed, we can still go before the throne of God in Jesus' name and ask forgiveness for our sins, and try to live a more Christian life. In passages, I mentioned that. When we were facing the possibility of my husband's cancer getting worse, let me just read this little passage here. I don't remember what hymn was playing or which scripture appeared on the screen. But I do remember there was a scene with lots of water flowing down the side of the television screen like a close-up of a waterfall. I believe at that moment I was visited by the Holy Spirit. With my arms outstretched across the bed, tears streaming down my face, I prayed and cried and made a covenant with God. I asked God to spare my husband's life, give him a second chance. Simultaneously, from his makeshift bed, my husband was also crying and praying for the same thing, a second chance. We cried and prayed together and begged God to give him a second chance. I vowed that I would use my writing talents to write in the name of the Lord, and that we would lead a more Christian lifestyle. That is very difficult for anybody to do in this
and to
day
admit
and
it.
Age.
Absolutely.
You have,
and
admitting have only to get
thing.
Into your car, Jay, and somebody cuts
yes.
you off, and there goes your Christian lifestyle out the door.
At least the real you comes to the surface.
The angry you comes out.
Yes.
That's not the real
perhaps
you.
Perhaps it's
certainly
the real you.
Not.
Hopefully, if you are a Christian and have committed your life to the Lord, he comes out and not the other.
Well, that's a trespass against you. And he says we are to forgive those who trespass against us. Right?
Absolutely.
When somebody cuts you off on the road or just, you know, they're not using their head to do their driving with.
How long did it take you to put this book together, Carlita?
Well, You know what? It did not take me long at all because God was with me. If you challenged me to select these same scriptures again, I couldn't do it. I don't know why these particular passages jumped out at me, except that God's hand was in it. He said, tell them about the covenants. Tell them about the curses, which would actually happen when you don't obey God. And in chapter, on page 11, that's where I talk about God's promises and his admonitions on page 15. Then I talk about God's blessings on page 16. So I don't bog down the reader with a lot of that, because the idea is to have them go to the table of contents, find what they need for what they're feeling at the moment, and thereby read those passages, find the comfort and peace and guidance that they need. So my next book, the one that I'm working on now, will get into a little bit more of the covenants and what happens to you when you break the covenant. Makes it a little more exciting.
How would you describe this book as far as it being similar or different than other books in the marketplace? Do you feel like it sets that it's set apart from others in the Christian devotion area?
It's very similar to other books on the market, except for the index of common quotes and the glossary. I've included both in the back of this book. Now, how did I develop this is the question. Like I said, my mom always quoted scripture around the house. And as you're growing up, you don't necessarily know the Bible for yourself, but you hear fragments of quotes, and then you wonder, ooh, where did this come from? And in my adult life, I said to a younger man, I said, oh, you're a sweetie for doing that for me. You're the apple of my eye. Now, he thought that came from a song. You see how we do not know God's word, and we're drifting further and further away from it. So I felt that including this index of common quotes and the glossary, we will help Sunday school teachers and students, parents, grandparents, anybody who wants to come back to God. This is a nice way to ease into it gently. Then you can go to the Holy Word, your Bible, blow the dust off it, and see where I'm sending you. Because not only does the Index of Common Quotes have a quote, but it will tell you what the correct version of the quote is, and it will tell you exactly where that quote is taken from. I'm looking at Keep the Faith. Now, that was a quote running around in the 60s and the 70s, as I date myself. But it comes from 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There you are. And time and again, here it is, I have the lamb to the slaughter. And it's taken from Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. See? So a lot of the things that we are quoting just haphazardly are taken from the Bible, and there is a whole generation of people who don't realize that. So I felt that passages of power, passion, and praise would help Sunday school teachers, parents, grandparents, teenagers who are so uncertain and so afraid and who are getting into suicidal tendencies because they don't feel anybody loves them. What a nice way for them to be reassured when they look and read passages of power, passion, and praise, to know God loves them. He's always by their side. The page where I talk about when you feel lonely or depressed, instead of turning to drugs or alcohol or some other negative way of appeasing yourself, read the Word of God.
Excellent advice.
My contact from New York, I sent her a copy of passages, and she was reading it on the train, and there were people peering to see what it is she's reading, and she says one or two of them inquired as to where they can get this book. And how wonderful is that? Because while somebody might be, they shouldn't be embarrassed to read their Bible on the train, but they might be embarrassed to read their Bible on a train, and this is a nice substitute for them to take for their commute back and forth to and from work. Why not?
Carlita, thank you for sharing this information about your book. Again, the title is Passages of Power, Passion, and Praise. Nurture Your Spirit, Soothe Your Soul. The author, again, is Carlita, or C. Figueroa Faxton. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jay. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Delighted to talk with you. Where do we get copies of your book?
Well, Inspiring Voices has their website, and I have mine. My website is cffenterprises.net. That's C, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, enterprises.net.
Thank you for sharing that. For Inspiring Voices, a division of Guidepost Magazines, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.